Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. Welcome to our Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago, NBCSportsChicago.com, with Luke Stuckmeyer, Tony Andracki. I'm David Kaplan. Okay, boys, we're taping this on Halloween. Stucky just broke his foot.
Happy Halloween.
Kicking the tape by mistake.
Trick or treat, broken toe.
So it's Halloween. Let's start right here with what I think would be fun. The scariest athlete will make it Cubs-based, or scariest moment that you've ever dealt with as a Cubs fan?
Well, there's two obvious ones.
Mine was Rajay Davis, yeah, homer.
That's a great, I mean, obviously that, if you're a Cubs fan, maybe not a Chicago sports fan, but just a Cubs fan, like Sox fans wouldn't care about that. Cubs fans, that was the heart dropper of all heart droppers, right?
That was worse than the Bartman play.
Yeah, but Bartman's clearly number two.
I think, just because of what came after that.
Yeah, one was Game 7 of the World Series, and Bartman had already happened, so it was like building on top of the Bartman. So that's one and two. After that,
Chris Bryant to the head. 96 miles an hour to his head. That could have ended his career. It could have killed him. But, yeah, I mean, that would have been the scariest moment. That was, to me, the scariest moment of 2018 in baseball, at least, from my coverage, was watching that and – the effects that it had on Bryant for 5 days. Luckily, it was only 5 days, but how much time he missed, that's big.
Let's see, other ones I've got. Same on that same line, Greenberg getting hit in the head against the Marlins, never really played again, certainly not for the Cubs. And Tyler Colvin, the shard of bat.
Into his lung.
Almost pierced his heart, too, right? A piece of his heart.
Yeah, it got his lung.
I mean, again, it could have, died on the baseball field.
Right.
Can you imagine what a tragedy that would have been? 44,000 people watching some guy with, it was just.
Horrible.
It was horrible. I thought for sure that was going to change rules in baseball about the types of bats they could use. I thought for sure it would.
You know which one? Corey Patterson stepping on first, and it was wet, slipping and blowing his ACL and probably wrecked his career. I still cannot believe they haven't got rid of those really hard bases. In the World Series the other day, Rich Hill, I think, was running down the first, and his cleat hit. It was a little wet. Boom, there he went, and I'm thinking, put soft bases there. Get MyPillow to sponsor it.
Bryce Harper had that in 2017. Remember, he came back right before the DS against the Cubs because of a similar thing. He kind of slipped and hit first base awkwardly and ended up having a bone bruise in his knee.
Yeah. Right. I don't think they – I mean, I don't know why the base really needs to be as high as it is either.
Agreed.
To be honest with you. Couldn't you cut it in half and make it a little bit
– softer.
Slightly softer.
Yeah. So I have one more scariest Cubs thing. Jason Hayward's contract. I knew they'd get a rise out of cap. But in all seriousness, obviously, I mean, Hayward's been, you know, great inside the clubhouse and everything else. But if they're not paying him $184 million total and his average annual salary of like $22 million, they would make this offseason so much easier for them if that was not the case.
So how much do they owe him right now?
They owe him, let's see, I don't know, never been very good at math. 3 years
down. Well, that's why we're in the media.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
3 years down, I don't know. They have somewhere around $115, $120 million left. But his average annual salary is $22 million. That's what goes against the luxury tax. So for 5 years left of that, it's tough.
Not only would it have made this offseason easier, it would have made last offseason you may have traded for Christian Yelich.
You'd have been
able to put his contract in. You might have had Yelich on your team, and what a difference that would have made to a Cubs line. You wouldn't even be talking about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado right now if you had Yelich playing in the outfield.
And by the way, did you guys see the tweet from the Brewers they put out yesterday?
Trolling.
Like, this is all the motivation we'll need, and it's the final out of game 163 when Lorenzo Cain caught it, and they're celebrating. And I'm like, you know what? Game on.
Yeah, well, you know it's bad in Wisconsin for the Packers when the Brewers are out tweeting something interesting. You know, if the Packers were doing well, the Brewers wouldn't be saying anything. They'd just be waiting for opening day to come.
It's what's that you said on a couple podcasts ago, Cap? What's the rule where when six guys have a career?
It's called the Chuck Tanner rule.
Chuck Tanner rule.
Who was the old manager of the Pirates and the White Sox, and he may have managed Oakland as well, where he said, look at teams that came out of nowhere, and if they have six guys or more that had career years, bet the house that they will regress as a team the next year. So we'll see.
We'll see if that happens. I was thinking the contract thing is Hayward's contract scarier at the point where it's at right now than Darvish's?
Yeah, in a way, because $126 million for 5 years of Darvish was about what everybody thought he would sign for anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, year one didn't go well, but it's still a decent value for it moving forward. So I don't think it's as scary, especially because they arguably need Darvish more moving forward than Hayward. But again, being said, I mean, Hayward is a huge, huge impact inside that clubhouse with his professionalism, his leadership, everything else he does. So they need that part of Hayward. But on the field, I think they need Darvish more moving forward.
Soriano's was pretty scary after he ripped his quad in half.
Is it scary that Chris Bryant might not be there anymore after 21?
Yeah, that would be.
That he has no interest in extending his deal?
But Javi's up that year, Rizzo's up that year, Hendricks the year before. Like, what happened?
Well, that's the window for winning with this group, for sure, because you're not going to be able to afford everybody.
Probably not.
Because you'll be adding expensive pieces before then, so some pieces will move, for sure.
But Brian, absolutely. I mean, the other guys, there's more of a reason for them to sign long-term deals or to re-sign after. But you're right, Brian, there may only be 3 years left in a Cubs uniform, and then he could be gone forever. That's a really scary thought for Cubs fans as well.
It is.
With Boris as his agent.
Yeah.
Let me give you a scarier one. There's only 3 years left on Theo's deal, and he says
10 years.
10 years, and you should move for a new challenge. You could literally see, as of today, again, these guys might sign, Baez and Schwarber and Bryant and Rizzo and Hendricks and Theo and Jed. They could all be out the door.
Wow. What would be the scariest thing for the Cubs not happening to them? Would it be, you know, the Brewers picking up? They're not going to get Clayton Kershaw, but what piece would it be? Would it be Bryce Harper to the Cardinals?
Harper to the Cardinals, Patrick Corbin.
Or are you still worrying more about the Dodgers because you're aspirations are much higher than just division?
No, I think the division is scarier because you play these guys 19 times a year. And we've seen, obviously, the Brewers played the Cubs very, very well in the second half. But, yeah, any of these guys. I mean, even just like look at Josh Donaldson and, say, Craig Kimbrell to the Cardinals. It fills their two biggest weaknesses. That really makes the Cardinals right up there with the Brewers and Cubs next year, just those two guys.
And I think they're going to try to do it because they're not going to take – finishing in third place very well.
No way.
Multiple times.
They haven't made the playoffs since 15 now.
And if you don't, as we've seen, if you don't win your division, you're a one and possibly done. So it's way more important to beat the teams in your division than it is to start worrying about NLCS
Completely
opponents.
Agree. Cardinals are probably like, we're all in.
Yeah, and they should be.
Well, the Brewers are going to add somebody. I don't know what arm would scare you the most if the Brewers went out and got this guy. Because I wouldn't worry about adding the lineup. But if they added...
I mean, Patrick Corbin had a great year. He did. Yeah.
And he shut down the Cubs, too, the one time that he pitched against them.
Man, if they had starting pitching to that bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, Maddon compared Corbin to Sandy Koufax. That's what he thought of him after the game that, like, he just.
And Fox compared him to Bill Nye, Sandy Koufax.
How about that?
That tweet.
I forgot
Rob
about that.
Rob Lowe and Bill Nye, the science guy. That's Sandy Koufax. All right, let's take a time out. We'll come back. We've got more to do on our Cubs Talk podcast. We'll be right back.
Cubs Authentic Fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back to our Cubs Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago, NBCSportsChicago.com with Luke Stuckmeyer, Tony Andracki. I'm David Kaplan. Okay, one of the things that has been a complaint that we've heard is that the Cubs don't have a set lineup. It drives fans crazy. And we've heard some players grumble, yeah, I like to know where I'm hitting. I don't want to hit second one day, seventh the next, up to third, back to fifth. They want some stability and consistency. Is that realistic, Luke?
Well, I guess Tony has the numbers, and you wrote about it. It's maybe a change in baseball more than it is just a change in the Cubs. But I think way back in the day, I think to the Cubs teams that I grew up watching and loving, it was Dernier, Sandberg every day, no matter what. That's what it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I get how it's difficult for a player to kind of jump around a little bit.
Totally.
But that is the strength of what this team has built. They had such great flexibility. They had so many pieces that literally could play all over the field. So it's sort of difficult not to take advantage of that. And I guess, Tony, so you're saying, Tony, that it is a trend in baseball, that it's not just the Cubs doing that.
Absolutely. So out of 163 regular season games, Cubs had 152 different lineups, not even including the pitcher spot. So that means guys playing in different positions or hitting in different spots.
How many different lineups?
152 out of 163.
Not including the pitcher.
Not including the pitcher.
It's only nine games.
The Dodgers actually had more with 155 out of their 163. But everybody's doing this. I mean, the Red Sox, 134 different lineups. The Astros, 144. The Brewers, 137. The Yankees, 137. Everybody is mixing and matching so much. And some of those teams I even listed, and they have the DH to worry about, too. So
there's a big difference for me from 134 or wherever that number
huge.
Was to 152.
So then let me pose that to you. So if Chris Bryant starts more than 99 games in 2018, I don't think the Cubs get up to 152. Do you guys?
No, they had to adjust, and they also had to adjust because they weren't getting production. If he would have had Dexter Fowler performing like Dexter Fowler did in 2016 as a leadoff guy, what were the numbers in 2016?
Yeah, I assume it fell. 2016
was 130.
So
interesting, the Indians, who obviously made it to the World Series that year, 101. This year, Indians 105. So somehow the Indians are like the only team that has figured out how to get more of a stable lineup. It's kind of working for them. So the Indians are like the good example for the Cubs.
Well, they haven't changed a whole lot. They have Lindor, and they kind of build the lineup around
exactly.
him, too. So, you know, Chris Bryant was the one guy you could say this is where he's going to be. And when he went out and Rizzo started struggling at the beginning and you didn't have a leadoff man, how many of the 150-plus are just trying to find a different leadoff guy? How many different leadoff guys?
So that's the other thing.
So that's part of it.
How many guys led off this year?
11.
11
different guys. So all the other teams we're talking about, the average leadoff number of leadoff hitters for contenders in 2018, 5.4. Cubs had more than twice as many different leadoff hitters in 2018.
Means they've got to go get somebody.
Finally. They have. Listen, you won the World Series. Dexter Fowler was a huge part of it. I'm not saying letting him go was a wrong decision because
right.
he hasn't done great since he left.
No.
But I don't think, for the people that say leadoff man, a consistent leadoff man and a good one, is overrated because he only leads off once in the game, I disagree. And I think the proof is in the pudding with the Cubs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that is the thing. When you had, look at the Brewers this year, right? You had Kane and Yelich 1-2.
Yep.
Now, they might have changed their 3 through whatever, but every single day, you knew it was going to be Kane and Yelich unless one of them had some sort of nagging injury.
How many different positions did certain key guys play? Obviously, Rizzo only plays first.
Right.
Baez, I know, played second, short, third. Bryant played right, left. I think he started a game at first, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
And third base.
He would have started in center if the game in D.C. did not get rained out.
Don't you think defensive differences are easier on a player than changing the lineup? I would think Chris Bryant playing left field one day, playing third base the next day would be an easier adjustment for him than going from batting second to batting fifth or something crazy. Because the hitting routine is the much more mental part of the game.
You see different kinds of pitches.
It's a much more mental part of the game. You have to be mentally focused at the plate, whereas in the infield or outfield,
just react a lot.
It's reaction. You see ball, go get ball.
How many different guys did they have play center field this year? Almora, Hap,
Hayward,
that's three. There had to be someone else in there. I would like to see them pick a guy and leave him there, and he plays a significant amount of time.
But who is that guy? That's the other thing is with the roster at hand, how do they do this? I mean, obviously, yeah, okay, if Bryant was healthy, if Contreras didn't have the offensive downturn, things would have been different. You would have seen more stable lineups. But they don't really have the personnel. Like, is Almora start 150 games there?
No.
I mean, I don't think so.
No, that's the problem is you have two guys offensively that you're not sure are an everyday center fielder.
You talking about Happ and Almora?
No, I'm talking about Hayward and Almora. Both guys are terrific center fielders, and you would love to put them in center and say, be my defense right up the middle every single day. But they both have flaws at the plate.
They do.
So that's why Joe's constantly mixing and matching, trying to move guys around, because offensively there are flaws. I don't know what the answer is, but I would, for me, it's one of those two guys or somebody new.
Now, you did have Bryant played, what, 99 games?
99 starts, yeah.
Okay, 99. You had Rizzo spend time on the DL.
Absolutely.
You had Addison Russell missing a lot.
Schwarber missed time in September.
Schwarber missed time. Maybe that contributed. How many games did they have a different lineup in 2017?
143. But that also, I mean,
it's a happier 2017, medium, at least.
Right, it is. But 2017, I mean, we saw it. That first half especially, Madden was really trying hard to jumpstart that team. But I think it's just a matter of, like, you go out there, their most consistent lineup featured Hayward and Wright hitting eighth, Russell at short, all these different things. But they never used that after May 30th. They used that lineup five times, never used it after May 30th, in part because you needed to get Ben Zobrist out there. You need to get Ian Happ out there. Obviously, the injuries, all these different things that come out. I think the answer to it is, like we talked about, leadoff, number one. You get a stable leadoff guy. Number two, I think it's not necessarily getting as many quality or quantity players. It's quality. If you get a guy like Harper or Donaldson or Machado that goes out there and plays every day and adds to Javi playing every day, to Bryant playing every day, to Rizzo playing every day, all of a sudden you're seeing more consistent lineups, at least in terms of where guys are hitting.
I talked to a former major league manager. He said, the problem with having so much depth, he goes, Joe can't possibly play them all, and it leads to a lack of consistency in your lineup because Luke's a good player. I can't leave him sit on the bench, but I really should be playing Tony five days a week. He said, all of a sudden you look up and you go, wow, I got too much depth here. Get rid of some of the depth.
You're trying to develop Happ. You know, Joe Madden loves Happ and wants to develop him, so even when he was struggling, he was trying to find a spot for him. Let's say offense was not a problem. Who would you want playing center field?
If offense was not a problem, I want Almora there.
Yeah.
You want Almora. If offense was even, you'd put Almora there and then Hayward and Wright.
Yep.
Well, I mean, it's a great defensive lineup.
And then I put Chris Bryant left.
Maybe would we agree that he's made progress offensively the last 2 years?
He did, yeah.
There might be baby steps, but he's better than he was in 2016.
But see, I would not keep Chris Bryant at third. I don't think he's a very good third baseman. I think he's very mediocre at third. David DeJesus feels the same way.
But he could be more than adequate in left field.
Yes.
Yeah, he could be a good outfielder.
I thought Schwarber did a decent job this year. He was certainly improved.
Chris would be better.
Happ made some good plays, but I think Chris Bryant's more athletic than
both. Now, what if I told you it was Bryant, Hayward, Harper?
I mean, that would be that would be much easier on the lineup, too.
Yeah. And Almora is your fourth.
And Almora is my fourth outfielder,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. But
and
now
then
we've.
And then I go Baez at third, Russell at short, Whit Merrifield at second, who I trade Schwarber.
I was wondering, we haven't got to Merrifield yet this podcast.
And then Rizzo at first, Contreras, and I would put Caratini in a deal, and I would get a veteran catcher back there.
It's going to be fun.
It is. Whit Merrifield shows up in like the 18, 19-minute mark of this podcast. I would have thought you would have got him in like the first 2 or 3 minutes, Cap.
He's in every podcast.
He is now, yeah.
Until he's part of the team.
We should just include him on a regular panel.
We should actually get him on as a guest.
We should. Like the Sean-o-meter.
Yeah.
Whit Merrifield-o-meter.
We should get him on as a guest.
The Merrimeter.
The Merrimeter. So that's how my lineup would be constructed. Tommy La Stella's a backup. He can play a little third. He can play a little second. He's a pinch hitter. And then I'll figure it out from there.
David Bodie's a backup. They want to play him more in outfield this winter so he can go out there if need be, become a full
utility
guy. There's
another piece.
Like it?
You would lose Almora?
No, Almora would be my fourth outfielder.
He'd be your fourth outfielder.
Schwarber and Happ would both be gone in my world.
And Caratini, and then replace Caratini.
And Caratini.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that. I'd be all right with that. I mean, I think most Cubs fans fell in love with Kyle Schwarber. Great guy. Has all this potential. But at some point, Theo said it, you got to go to production over potential.
And he belongs in the American League.
See, but his defense got a whole lot better.
A lot better.
Every defensive metric was much better for Schwarber. He was, in a lot of areas, a top three defensive left fielder in the NL in 2018. As crazy as that sounds, but you're including arm, you're including range. Wrigley, I'm sure, helped with the wind blowing in and stuff. But all of these different things, Schwarber was up there. He's not just an AL player anymore, but I imagine teams with the DH would love having him more because they wouldn't have to play him out there every day.
They could. I mean, I would say his arm was great, and I do think losing weight helped him defensively.
It did.
By the time it was over.
It did.
Made probably him more agile, right, in the outfield.
I would probably agree with that, Joe. But I think that's a pretty good team. That outfield, offensively, you have a light-hitting center fielder in Hayward, but if I'm giving you Bryant and Harper flanking him.
Well, and he gives you gold glove defense in center.
Gold glove.
So if I have a healthy Chris Bryant and a healthy Bryce Harper on bookends of him, I can live with whatever
then,
he does.
And then in a late game situation, I can move Hayward to left or to right, take one of those guys out, and put Al Moore out there.
Yeah.
I mean,
Cap, how weird does this feel right now? A year ago, if we were on the podcast, if you told your past self that you would have Jason Hayward and Bryce Harper in the same outfield, a year ago, like, wouldn't you have wanted Hayward gone? Wasn't that something that you said?
Probably.
If they could, if
probably
they could.
Right. But I just don't see any way that they're going to get someone to bite on that contract, even if they ate a large. I mean, you're going to have to eat money to get rid of Tyler Chatwood. You're going to have to. He's owed 13 times 2. That's 26. There'll be teams that will take a shot if you said, okay, I'll eat 15 of the money.
It's
you
a
get
lot
a starting
less.
Pitcher for 5.5. Someone's going to roll the dice and try and
why not
fix him.
Yeah.
But you can't go to Tom Ricketts and go, I need you to eat 15 on that one. Hey, could you eat 80 million of Jason Hayward's money? He's not. At some point, he's going to go, no.
And there would be a tough sell. Like, going back to the clubhouse thing, it's a tough sell for them to eat $80 million of a guy that's really well-liked and respected.
And
that's,
actually, he's a good player.
Right,
he's just not a great player.
Right. Not worth $22 million
No, he's
a
overpaid.
Year,
he's a very good – if you were saying he had David Bodie's contract, you'd be like, wow.
Right.
This guy's the best.
Absolutely.
Or even Elmora's deal. It's just he got paid a lot of money, and it impacts the rest of the team.
This person that I spoke to about the lineup said to me that when he was working – his front office said, we love Jason Hayward. We're going to take a run at him. And he said, the hardcore old school scouts went, no, he's got a wet noodle for a bat. You can't take a run at him. But the analytics team for Brian Cashman liked him. The analytics team at this team I'm talking about liked him. The Cardinals offered him $200 million to keep him. I've seen four or five teams linked that said, we like Jason Hayward.
I think most
Cubs, analytically, he
Cubs
checked
fans
out.
Were pretty excited when they signed him.
I was.
Yeah. Cubs fans were excited when, just as excited or more when Soriano signed. Sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you think it will.
But the funny
throwing
thing is,
tons of money at free agents is risky business.
The day Soriano signed, I believe, was my birthday, and we find out that he signed, and I called Steve Stone, and I said, "Hey, Stoney, the Cubs just got Soriano, pal. Take that." Because he wasn't the Cubs announcer anymore. And he said, okay, that will go down as the worst signing they've ever made. I went, are you out of your mind? He was a 40-40 guy.
Yeah.
He said, mark it down. Within 2 years, you're going to beg to get out of the contract. And he was right.
Wow. Well, so, let's hope he's not right about another big offseason move this year.
Yeah. So, you guys, thank you. A lot of fun. I always love chatting.
Trick or treat.
Get Whit Merrifield on.
Whit Merrifield. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Your favorite Halloween candy. If I said, I'm taking you to the store, I'm going to buy you whatever you want.
Twix.
Frozen Kit Kats. I know you like Kit Kats.
I've never had a frozen Kit Kat.
Oh, my God. Go do it right now. I'm serious.
I don't eat that stuff.
It's better.
Have you ever had the Twix ice cream bars?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Have you ever had a dark chocolate Kit Kat?
No, not in the white chocolate. I wouldn't even try the white chocolate.
Yeah, I've tried the white chocolate. Not great. I haven't had the dark chocolate. No.
Dark chocolate. Milk chocolate is 50 million times better than dark chocolate.
Yeah, I like dark chocolate. I like dark chocolate. But I did not know there was a dark chocolate Kit Kat. And then I found out today the number one candy bar in Japan is Kit Kat. And they have wasabi Kit Kats, ginger Kit Kats. Oh. They've got like 15 or 20 different flavors.
I bet there's a pumpkin spice Kit Kat out there now.
Probably.
Pumpkin spice everything.
All right, boys. Happy Halloween.
See
you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to our Cubs Talk podcast. We'll talk to you soon at NBC Sports Chicago, NBCSportsChicago.com. And it's all brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking.